Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I am Joe Posnanski, and with me is Michael Shore. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Wow, I'm telling you, the quality of your voice. Is something changed?
I have a new microphone. Thank you for asking. Yes, I have a new microphone.
Wow.
And it's very fancy. It's got green lights on the side and watch this. Wait, I'm talking and I'm increasing the volume of the microphone and now I'm decreasing the volume.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a
fancy it is.
It was doing that with your touching it. That's incredible. Wow. Yeah, imagine what would the young Michael Shore doing the podcast, you know, back when we were kids, we were doing it with tin cans and what would they have thought of this new space age microphone?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because one of the things we used to write about at Fire Joe Morgan all the time was like when people would compare players from different eras and they would say like, you know, if Babe Ruth were playing in this era or whatever. And the thing I always used to enjoy was imagining like, there was that story that Albert Pujols, I think he was one of the first guys to do this, would go after every at bat, would go into the clubhouse and look at an iPad with video on it or look at a computer with like the tape, like between at bats. He was
sure.
Like at bat by at bat. And it really made me laugh to imagine going back in time and having like Babe Ruth face whoever, you know, Walter Johnson or something, and their Ty Cobb faces Walter Johnson, and then he comes back to the clubhouse and you're like, hey Ty, check out this video just so you can see how he's pitching you and how he would like lose his mind and freak out and punch you in the face and
yes.
accuse you of witchcraft and then murder you. The one of the ways you can imagine how different it is to be a hitter today as opposed to back in that era is that players today can get instantaneous feedback.
That's right.
On the way that they're being pitched. And that is why it is so much harder to be both a pitcher and a hitter in this modern era.
Yeah. One of many reasons why, but yes, I mean, the young Michael Shore, if he had seen this microphone would have equally freaked out, would have just,
yes, he would have, the young Michael Shore back when we started this podcast in the late 1970s.
That's right.
Would have been very impressed at how space age this mic is. No question.
It's very space age. All right. This is very exciting. We've got an incredible, wonderful, special guest with us today. We are bringing back our dear friend, Sarah Lang. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me. So great to be back.
It's so exciting.
You're back for two main reasons.
Yes.
One is you helped us choose the recipient of the latest round of podcast Meadowlark Media fundraising, which is the Eleanor and Lou Gehrig ALS Center, not the ALCS Center. That's
no, it's both.
Different.
It's both, I think.
Well, it's some percentage of the money going to the ALS Center is going to the ALCS Center. We haven't worked that out yet. And also because we just ended our related but separate podcast fundraiser raffle.
That's right.
We are very happy to announce that we raised over $100,000.
More than $100,000. Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. I mean, I was following the GoFundMe, which I know is separate. And I mean, I just could not believe how generous people were. And, you know, I've been involved in some fundraising more so in the last 6 months than prior in my life. And one thing that really stands out to me is when you have a fundraiser where a ton of people donate like $25.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways, that's almost more meaningful than seeing those really big donations, because I think of where people are in life and what they might be dealing with themselves, and having that generosity to say, okay, I'm going to put something here. I mean, I'm just so grateful for that. And it was really that kind of fundraiser, and that blew me away.
Yeah, we should say that the fundraiser between those that gave money directly to the center, which were quite a few of you, and those who gave to the GoFundMe, which is obviously separate from everything we do here, almost 2,000 people donated. I mean, that in some ways, that's as cool or cooler than the overall number, because, I mean, people very much wanted to be involved. I, you know, Sarah, I don't know how much you were able to look at some of the comments. People sent us emails talking about how meaningful this is because, you know, because you were involved. And I mean, it's really cool. It blows my mind because I honestly never thought that any good would come out of this podcast. I think, and yet here we are, and really, really exciting. And you know, it really, this all began because Mike Shore wanted an excuse to buy baseball card packs.
That's right.
Why this whole thing even started.
So let us say, first of all, to everyone who donated, thank you.
Yes.
That was amazing. I had it in my head, a target of $25,000. I thought if we could raise $25,000, that would be a huge success.
Yes, I was even way higher than I thought.
Four times that is truly shocking. So thank you to all podcast listeners and other Meadowlark Media listeners, Dan Le Batard listeners, everybody who donated. It was truly wonderful and inspiring and great. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Next week, Joe and I hope to pull the names of the winners. We've decided we're going to give away the five main prizes, which are a card of your choice, an essay, signed copies of all these books. We're also going to give away the Derek Jeter mega prize, which is the signed ball and the jersey and the rookie card. And then we've decided we're so happy and thrilled at how many people donated. We're going to just give a bunch of other prizes away. It might be a random card we just send you out of nowhere. It might be a whole box of 1981 Fleer. We're going to, as many prizes as we can possibly just randomly send to people to
thank them,
we're going to do that. So that'll be part of next week.
What we are going to do is we are going to choose a lot of random people. We will just send you a note saying, congratulations, you're a winner. Send us your address. At that point, we're not telling you what you're going to win.
No.
That is good. The surprise will be when you open your pack. I was telling Mike that the lead singer of Kiss, Gene Simmons, a couple of years ago had something called The Vault, which is this big musical box. And if you bought The Vault, it was very expensive and it was a big deal. But if you bought The Vault, you would get one. There was a little compartment on the side and it'd be like, personal item from Gene Simmons. And that personal item could have been his Rolex. Like he gave away a Rolex. Like he gave away like some very expensive things, but it also might be a shoe or something he found in his closet. That's basically, you don't know. Like you might get a Tom Glavin rookie card. You might get a Billy Sample card. You might get
this 1982 card of Rick Dempsey bunting for some reason.
right.
I don't know why he's bunting. How many times did Rick Dempsey bunt in his life?
Oh my gosh.
You might get this 1993 Topps Dan Pasqua.
That's right.
There's so many options you might get.
So we are going to choose this pot prize especially for you based on absolutely no knowledge of who you are or what you want. And it's going to be great. Here's the thing, whatever we send you, I hope it'll be precious to you, except for the Donruss 1981 packs that Mike is going to send to some of you.
I'm going to send a bunch of people a bunch of packs of 1981 Donruss cards. And let me say in advance, I'm sorry. It might seem like you're being punished because of how flimsy and crappy they are. But really what it comes down to is I want to get them out of my house.
That's right.
And so I'm going to send them to some random unsuspecting people. But listen, there's another reason Sarah's here. We have to get to this because when Sarah was on with us the last time, we asked her what her favorite Mets team was. And she said the 2006 Mets team, right? Yes.
Yes.
So in your honor, Joe and I have purchased boxes of 2006 Upper Deck baseball cards.
That's right.
Today, we're going to open these 2006 cards. We're hoping for some Mets, but regardless, this is going to be a fun walk down memory lane for you for the year that baseball took over your life, grabbed your heart, and would not let it go. And so we will open these packs and we will go through these ridiculous players. These cards are, by the way, insane.
These
2006 cards. They're so vivid and sharp. They feel like they should all be framed individually.
Yeah, they're almost too nice. Yeah.
So Sarah, the question is, who's the dream? Before we open these cards, what is the dream? What is the card? Is it a Mike Piazza? Is it a, I don't even remember who was on that team. Who was on the 2006 Mets?
It's a Carlos Beltran. It's got to be a Carlos Beltran.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
we
Carlos Beltran, obviously the future Hall of Famer, but the one I've talked about a lot recently who was on that team is Oliver Perez,
Oh,
who I've
yes.
talked about being one of my favorites, kind of a cult favorite. So I'd think of him. I mean, there was John Maine and that team. So many great names. By the way, I have to say, Rick Dempsey, 63 career sacrifice bunts.
There we go.
And that doesn't even tell us non-sacrifice bunts, bunting for a hit, anything like that.
I'm going to just tell you, 68 sacrifice bunts and total bunts, 68, because he never bunted for a hit. Rick Dempsey couldn't run. The only time that Rick Dempsey could run was on the old, when they would pull out the tarp during rain delays, and he would run around the bases and do that sliding thing.
That was him.
That was Rick Dempsey.
I forgot about that. Was Rick Dempsey?
Absolutely.
Wow. See, now, now you should be dreaming that you get the 82 Rick Dempsey.
I think look, all anybody out there is hoping is that they don't get the 1981 Donruss pack. That's really their one dream. Anything else they get, they'll know it's from the heart, but they'll know that you looked somehow at the. At their, you know, their address, and we're like, ugh, this guy's a Yankee fan, probably.
I'll tell you this: if anybody donated from the Bronx, they're getting 1981
Donruss. That's exactly right. I love it. All right, Sarah, we're hoping that you're going to give us total insight on these players as we go forward.
I am totally ready. I have Baseball Reference open. Let's do it.
This is going to be great. All right, I'm going to get started. I'll start us.
Go ahead.
All right, number one, I've got Jorge Sosa of the Atlanta Braves. There's the Jorge Sosa card. Oh, and then look right away, I get an authentic game-used patch. How about that?
Oh, wow.
It is a Jeff Francis authentic game-used patch from, I guess, the World Baseball Classic. I guess this Jeff Francis, who I did not know, is from Canada, I guess. And he was a developing southpaw at this point. Congratulations, I got this. What do we think this is worth? This Jeff Francis autograph. I mean, it's not autographed.
Probably I would guess $40,000.
$40,000. You know what? Somebody's going to win this.
You got to send that to someone.
Somebody's going to get this Jeff. And then the only other card in here, what? This is a 3-card pack? Is that how many are in there?
Oh, because the patch cards are really thick.
They're really thick. So I guess that counts for 5 cards, I guess. So the only other card in here is a Mike Napoli rookie card. A little
catching. Before he had to move because he couldn't play defense.
That is a fun one. Oh, my gosh.
Mike Napoli, Red Sox legend.
Red Sox legend, absolutely. As I'm reading the back of his card, that he belted 75 round trippers, one word, round trippers, while driving in a total of 300 runs over 6 seasons in the minor leagues. The hard-hitting catcher collected a combined 60 of those long balls during his 2004 stint with single-A Rancho Cucamonga and his 2005 stay at double-A Arkansas. How about that?
Sarah, maybe you can look this up. In my memory, before Napoli joined the Red Sox and was a member of the 2013 World Championship team, the Boston Strong year, in my memory, he used to kill the Red Sox. Like, I hated him so much because when he played for the Angels in Texas, I felt like every time he played us, he just beat the crap out of us. And I was thrilled that they got him for the simple reason that he would no longer be able to destroy us when he played against
them. He slugged 629 in his career against the Red Sox.
There you go. Look at that. Wow.
He hit 19 homers against them, which is tied for his fifth most against any team. And this is his whole career, so also afterward. But right. Yes, 629 slug against them. Wow. That explains it.
So that was not a false memory. I was right in my memory that he used to kill.
That's his highest slugging against any team he faced more than 10 times.
I feel like I deserve some kind of points for this. Do we have a point system set
absolutely.
Up yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. You just got 23 points. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right. I get is 3 cards in my pack, but that's what we got. All right, Mike, you ready to open your pack?
I'm ready to open my pack. Here we go. I've got Tim Corcoran.
Oh, sure.
Pitcher for the Marlins, remember him? Or the Rays.
Rays, him? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Travis Hafner.
Oh,
Pronk. Pronk? Nice. Was that a, wait, what
Pronk,
was his?
Yeah, Pronk. Yeah,
Pronk.
Yeah. Pronk.
Let me just tell you, Travis Hafner in his younger days, probably right around 2006, that guy could have won an MVP. I mean, he was.
He had a crazy really good couple crazy good years. Yeah,
really, really good years in his early days.
I don't want to say I'm on a roll. I don't want to say I'm winning this because it's not a competition.
Oh, but you feel it is.
It's Carlos Beltran.
Oh, there it is.
My gosh. You did it. Oh, my goodness.
I pulled a Carlos Beltran.
He's blowing a bubble.
Oh, that's really good.
That card will soon be in your possession. You will soon have
putting that aside
a 2006
for
Carlos Beltran. Exciting.
Curtis Granderson is good. That's a good one. I can't think of a player I would expect less to have the blowing the bubble card. than Carlos Beltran.
That's true.
That's not, no disrespect, nothing, but that's not how I remember him at all.
As a bubble-blowing guy at all, no.
Yeah, no.
You know that Carlos Beltran, when he was a rookie in Kansas City, he owned a monkey. And he used to bring that monkey with him to the ballpark. Carlos was a very awkward guy when he was, because he really had struggled learning English. And so, like, he would bring a rookie and he also, I mean, a monkey to the ballpark sometime. And he also had like this little car, remote control car that he would like zoom around the clubhouse. And he was, I love him, but he was very awkward. He was young.
Huh.
You know what? What's funny? If someone did that now, they'd be like a social media superstar.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that would be the guy. And then back then, that's like always kind of awkward. You don't know what to do. It's so funny how that's changed.
Totally. The world has shifted in favor of the folks who have a lot of quirks and kind of like and have personality. Now
which is great.
Which is good. That's a good thing.
Exactly. Good thing.
Listen. I don't want to say I'm winning.
Okay.
Again, it's not a competition. It's Cliff Floyd.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
One of my all-time favorites on that team and such a good guy now that I've gotten a chance to work with him too. Cliff Floyd was like a family favorite. I know my parents are going to be listening to this. My dad thinking about us talking about Cliffy. I mean, that is, oh my gosh.
And this might represent his best year too. 05, 34 homers. That was a career high. It says on the back, he led the NL with 15 outfield assists. He had a really strong arm.
He had a very strong arm. All right, so Sarah's father will soon have a Cliff Floyd card in his possession. By the way, great card. He's sliding in the card.
Yeah, he's sliding.
The photos are just so cool in these cards. All right, go ahead.
Now I've got Vinny Castilla. That's fun.
Sure.
Nice.
Sure. Very good.
Castilla, he would have been around for a while at this point, right? Yeah, this must be toward the end. He's on the Nationals in this card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's long after his glory days in Colorado.
All right, listen.
You're not saying you're winning this time.
I'm not saying that I'm ahead or that I'm leading in the competition. Check this out. This is a star attractions card.
Uh-oh.
Of Jose Reyes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
This is the messiest pack I've ever opened in my life.
Oh, my
this
goodness.
This must be like a rookie-ish. On the back, it says, New York's talented young shortstop led the club in games played, hits, and runs last year. Reyes' blazing speed enabled him to lead the NL with 60 stolen bases and pace the entire majors with 17 triples.
Wow.
This might have some value.
He was so young.
Look how young he is.
How good did you think Jose Reyes was going to be, Sarah?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so good. I can remember in like 2004, he debuted, I believe, in 03. But I can remember in 04, the whole thing with him was, oh, if he stays healthy, he's going to be so good. And I really think that 05, 06 kind of set of years, that was the peak what he could be. I know he won the batting title later, back in 2011. But that speed was something the Mets did not have again until maybe this year with Starling Marte before he got hurt. That is really something that a lot of teams have been lacking, obviously, over the last 10 plus years. But the Mets had not had that in so long. He was just so electric to watch. I mean, one of those types of players. We're used to it now with some of the power speed guys, the Julios and the Byron Buxtons, but it was a different kind where it was that speed and he was really good. A lot of the base stealers these days are really good at stealing bases, but not necessarily as good getting on base, doing everything else. But he had all of that for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he seemed like he was going to the Hall of Fame in those
years. Definitely.
Like he was like, oh, this is, he seemed like Lindor, maybe less power, but like, this is 200 hits a year. This
yeah,
is
more speed.
Like great defensive shortstop, more speed.
Still 70 bases a year. I mean, just crazy numbers. All right.
Well, my last card is an Anthony LaRue rookie card.
Sure. Finally.
I love it. Yeah.
Finally. And I love how LaRue spelled his name, too, by the way.
LEREW.
LEREW. Yeah, it's very good.
Sarah, you're going to be the proud recipient already of a Beltran, a Cliff Floyd, and a Jose Reyes Star Attractions card. I'm putting these all aside.
This is going to be so great.
We should end this right now. We're not going to open a better pack for Sarah.
No, there's an Oliver open. Perez out there to be had. So we're going to keep going. All right. So the first thing I got is I don't know. Did you get any these Ticket to the Hall contest cards?
Yeah, I got a couple of. I got one of those in a pack I opened yesterday because I was bored and I just opened a pack. But I don't really understand it.
I don't understand it, but apparently I could win two tickets to the Hall. I'm going to send this in and see what I can get. All right, we got Kansas City's Tony Graffinino.
Nice.
Which is delightful.
Good period piece.
Yeah.
I covered Tony Graffinino with the Royals. Yeah. The Royals at one point, I don't believe they ever had Graffinino and Grudzelanik at the same time, but maybe they did, and that would have been really cool. Oh, here we go. I got a Met. Aaron Hellman.
Aaron
Hellman.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to say I was a fan back then, and Aaron Hellman was not the most reliable reliever. And
so diplomatic of you.
2006 Sarah had some thoughts that 2023 Sarah won't share, but Aaron Hellman is a hallmark of that team.
Oh, absolutely. That team would not have been the same without a little Aaron Hellman out there. Jeremy Burnitz was a good player. Jeremy Burnitz, right? Didn't Jeremy Burnitz
if I'm not mistaken, he's
30 home run seasons, right?
He's Jeromy.
I was about to say, I love this spelling. He's one of those guys you'll always remember. It's spelled that way.
Yeah.
Jeremy Burnitz, he had more than 300 home runs in his career.
Hey. 315.
Was it something like that? Was it 315?
315. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 30 homer seasons and a year was 27. Pretty close. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like Ralph Kiner famously had whatever it was, 7 in a row with 30 or more. And he was like, well, this is like the greatest home run hitter of all time. And like Jeremy Burnitz had 6 and no one even remembers.
All right. John Grabo. I don't have a big John Grabo memory or anything, but he was with the Pirates for a while. The Cardinals' Gary Bennett was their
don't
backup
remember
catcher.
Him at all.
I don't remember either of those guys too much. I do remember Scott Schoenweiss, of course. I mean,
Scott Schoenweiss, of course. Yeah,
he was a Met. He wasn't a Met that year, I guess, but he was a Met in that era.
Scott Schoenweiss on the Mets. Do not remember that at all.
That is the
Wasn't
team.
Was he an angel? Am I crazy or was he an angel at some point?
He was. That's his baseball reference page.
He started
he
with
was
the angels,
a Met
yeah.
the next year, 07 and 08. So the
okay,
two
so yes.
teams that blew the division lead.
So he went to the Angels to the White Sox to the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays to the Mets. So very good. Mm. All right. We got a little Ryu, a little Jay Cook Ryu.
Nice.
And then we got Wade Miller. I mean, you know, I think that's how you end it with the
Wade Miller had a shoulder thing, right? He was like a fireballer, and then maybe he had shoulder.
Yeah,
he had like
Wade
a
Miller with the Astros
thing, and then
yeah, with the Astros, he was good. He was a good pitcher for the Astros for a while there, and then I think he might have gotten hurt. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right.
I feel like in my memory, because he played for the Red Sox for 1 year, and in my memory, he was like a reclamation project where he.
Yeah.
Was, bit a fireballer, had maybe rotator cuff or something, and then came back and was like, for the Red Sox, was throwing like, you know, 88
88,
or eight, something like that.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
All right, next.
He was very good for one year.
He was very good for the Astros.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Are you done? Is it my turn? All right.
It is your turn.
Here we go. I'm hoping for one more Met to really solidify my lead in this competition.
Your win. Yeah.
Oh, Bernie Williams right off the bat.
Ugh. Oh, wow. That makes you happy.
Get out of here, Bernie.
Nothing makes you happier than have a little Bernie Williams action.
Does Bernie Williams someday get into the Hall of Fame on like a veterans committee, a crummy veterans committee vote?
What do you think, Sarah? I don't think so, but I actually think he's a better Hall of Fame candidate than other people who will get in. Like, I am very surprised, and I know this is, you know, people completely disagree with me. To me, Bernie Williams is a better candidate than Jeff Kent, I think.
He basically hit 300 for his career. He had, 2,400 hits-ish.
Right. Was a power hitter and speed guy when he was young. He won some gold gloves. He was not a great outfielder at the end of his career.
Everybody on their team scored 100 runs every year.
Like, yeah.
Because their offenses were so good that they all drove
in 100. He drove in 100 a bunch and hit some power, had some speed. I think he was a really good player.
All right, I got Brandon Lyon, the pitcher for the Diamondbacks. Look how ugly those Diamondbacks uniforms are. My God.
Gross. Just gross.
How did we allow this?
They're the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they do.
Nobody cared. Yeah.
They looks a lot like the Rockies. Like, what a bad aesthetic that was. Morgan Ensberg, second baseman for Astros.
Hey, Morgan Ensberg was a good player.
Yeah.
I got an Adam Wainwright rookie card. That's pretty good.
Oh,
that's really cool.
Very
good. That is a future Hall of Famer right there.
Number 70. Look at him.
Yeah.
Look at the uniform. That's amazing.
70. I love it.
Wow.
That's,
I hope he's a Hall of Famer. He's a great guy. I hope he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know that he is.
Look at this. Star Attractions Dontrell Willis.
Oh, very good.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
I'm rolling. You have to admit that I'm winning.
You're rolling. Well,
you've gotten some really good ones.
Yeah, you've got some good ones.
Hank Blaylock. Remember Hank Blaylock pinch hitting a home run off Gagne in the All-Star game?
Sure. Sure.
AL1. That was important because that was the first This Year It Counts year. And the Red Sox, I wanted the Red Sox to get home field if they made it to the World Series. This is how psycho I was. I was thinking in July, like, the AL needs to win this so that the Red Sox make the World Series, they have home field advantage in the World Series. And then they did.
It didn't matter, but they did.
Yeah. And finally, the ageless wonder, Tony Clark.
Oh, Tony Clark.
Wow.
Similarly crappy Diamondbacks uniform.
Yeah, very, very bad uniform. And of course, now as important as anybody in baseball. So there you go. Excellent. All right, here we go. We got some Russ Springer action with the Giants. Great. I am not doing as well. Gabe Gross. Really? Gabe Gross?
Phillies?
It was on the Blue Jays then. I think he might have played with the Phillies later. Did he have a brother? He might have had a brother that was also Gross.
Was Kevin Gross his brother?
I think Kevin Gross. I don't know. They all have. Oh, Brian Sweeney. There you go. Little Brian Sweeney. Steve Traxel. This is not a great pack. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but you're getting the Mets, the former and future. That point, what was he? Had he been on them yet?
No, he was. It's a Mets card.
That's a Mets card. Okay.
Yeah, he had been on the Mets for a few years. You liked him. Yeah. You liked Steve Traxel, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, you got one.
Even the young Sarah was like, Steve Traxel, that's fine. Whatever. All right, Gary Majewski.
Great.
Nice. Yeah.
Not really great. Oh, Roberto Perugin. Some reason he got a cool sideways looking.
You are getting some random.
I'm getting
dudes
some very bad cards at this moment. Cole Hamels. Talk about guys that are not going to go to a Hall of Fame, but could. In fact, I think this is a Cole Hamels rookie card. What says on it? Cole Hamels rookie card.
There you go.
That Cole Hamels rookie card. Lying. That Cole Hamels rookie card matches your Adam Wainwright rookie card, I would think.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Wayno's better than Cole Hamels, don't you think?
You look at their numbers, it's pretty close. It's pretty close. And Hamels had they both had great postseason moments, but Hamels had that one postseason when he won MVP of NLCS and World Series, right? He was both.
Yeah.
And then Eric Milton. just a little Eric Milton action. So nice. not the most thrilling pack ever, but Cole Hamels, good player.
No, I like the Hamels one. I like the way of Hamels and Wainwright. Hamels is working out, trying to make his way back. Wayno is doing one last ride this year. Kind of fun.
That's very cool. Yeah, which one of them has the better Hall of Fame case there, Sarah?
I mean, having not pulled up their pages there yet, I think of Wainwright because of the staying power, because in this time when, you know, it's not Hamill's fault, he was injured, he got older, all of that. But I think of the fact that he and Molina were there for so long together. Yeah. I think you know, those intangibles probably help him. And of course, winning the World Series and all of those, you know, multiple. But anything about Cole Hamels throwing a no hit, I mean, I can see it, but
yeah, it's pretty close. But I agree with you. And the one thing that you said is that's 100% right is Hamels has been injured and dealt with it. But it's not like Adam Wainwright, he was one of the unluckiest pitchers in baseball, he just kept coming back. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that one year that he lost the whole year because he got hurt on the first day of spring training. And then he had another Tommy John. But he just kept coming back. And by the way, just the best guy. Just the best guy.
He also has that thing with Yachty where they have the most starts thrown to each other. Like, I feel like that's the kind of thing that Hall of Fame voters like. It's like winning its pitcher of the 80s. It's like meaningless, but also it's like a narrative that I think people enjoy. So.
I like it.
Listen, I wanted to tell you some facts about Gabe Gross.
Please do.
Gabe Gross, this is the most early 2000s baseball thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
December 7, 2005, traded by the Blue Jays with Dave Bush and Zach Jackson to the Milwaukee Brewers for Lyle Overbay and Ty Taubenheim.
There we go.
Fantastic. One of his most similar batters, Damon Buford. Oh, you can't get more meaninglessly early 2000s baseball than that.
Gabe Gross, a first round pick out of Auburn.
Yeah, I was about to say first round pick, 2001.
Nice.
I mean,
do you think that Gabe Gross has ever been discussed for longer on a podcast than he just has been on this one?
I'm gonna add something else to the Gabe Gross thing that I'd love Sarah's point of view. Anytime you go to a baseball reference page and on the top among the positions that they list for you is pinch hitter, you're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I always love it. So he is an outfielder and pinch hitter. Yeah, that's basically.
I know. I love the idea of kind of not purposefully, but like gaming the system, whatever the equation is, that you have to have done X, Y, Z for at least 40% or whatever it is. But yes, sometimes you see pinch hitter, pinch runner, or whatever it may be. And of course, when pinch hitter is the first one, you
that's
get a little concerned.
No, that's but, the best.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Mike.
I don't want to say I'm winning because it's not a competition.
Right.
It's Kazuo Matsui.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Look at that sweet swing. He's drilling that ball up the middle, man.
All right, Kazuo.
What did he do? He hit home runs in his first plate appearance of the season, back-to-back year, something like that. Let me look this up.
But he
did a thing like that. When we look at guys like home run opening day, multiple years, he did something very cool with that. Very sort of under-discussed. Let's see, home run log.
All right, while you look that up, I'll show you Mark Kotze.
Oh, there you go. You can't get more mid-2000s than Mark Kotze.
Nope. Can you? Here's Rafael Furcal.
Rafael Furcal, a lot like, he looked like he was going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
Superstar.
He had 194 hits in 03.
And how many stolen bases?
In his first 6 years, 40, 22, 27, 25, 29, 46.
Yeah, he had speed,
and scored
and a little bit of power.
30 runs in 03, man.
Right. Yeah. I thought he was going to be a star.
Oh, here's Derek Lowe, Red Sox legend Derek Lowe.
Red Sox legend. There you go.
Dodger. Yeah.
On the Dodgers at this point, yeah. All right, did you figure it out?
So Kaz Matsui homered on the first pitch he saw in the big leagues. He homered on opening day in Atlanta off Russ Ortiz, top of the first, Looks like he may have even, yeah, he was leading off. So it's the first pitch, like, of the season, all
Wow.
of that. And then he homered on opening day the next year in 05 as well. So there was the thing
Wow.
with, you know, Mets homer on opening day multiple years. He did not hit that many home runs, but I'm just kind of eyeballing. And some of the names are pretty fun. He homered off Randy Johnson in 04.
Nice.
That's and
Nice.
Mike Mussina. He also
Right.
homered off Adam Wainwright in 08. And then Scott Schoenweiss, who we're just discussing. So, you know, it's all there.
I mean, we're nailing this right now.
Oh, it's
we are absolutely nailing this.
Good.
Here's Kenny Lofton.
Be
Something interesting about these 2006 Upper Deck cards. So Lofton in the card in the picture is a Philly, but down here
he's a
listed
Dodger.
As a Dodger.
Oh.
Yeah, they did that a lot on these cards.
Well, especially with Lofton. I mean, Lofton moved so around so much at that point in his career that they couldn't keep up.
Here's Luis Matos.
Sure.
Sliding successfully into second.
Is he sliding? It looks like he's crawling to second at this point.
Maybe no. Well, I think he just slid and is popping up and looking
he's
back to the right
yeah.
to see where the ball
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
I don't. I this is not a competition. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just stop. Everyone, stop thinking of this as a competition, and just enjoy the fact that I just pulled star attraction Carlos Delgado.
Oh
wow! You really got the Mets pack.
You are down on the Mets.
I mean,
but look, this is what I'm talking about. Look at the uniform.
Yeah,
he's a Marlin in the uniform.
He's a Marlin in the uniform.
Well, because he joined them for 06.
Right.
Remember, he didn't want to join in 05, and then he came that year, that offseason.
I gotta
I think
tell
I've told
you.
The story before, but I went to a Red Sox game with my dad. Probably, I mean, he was on the Blue Jays, so it must have been earlier than this. And we were sitting right by the pesky pole, like in the second row. And Carlos Delgado was up, and he hit a ball that never got more than 12 feet off the ground.
Right.
And as soon as he hit it, I thought, that ball is going to murder me. That is heading right towards me at 185 miles an hour, and its intention is to murder me.
Yeah, that's right.
And it curved, and I reached up with one hand. It hit the palm of my hand at 185 miles an hour.
Right.
Bounced out and popped gently up in the air, and the guy right behind me just went boop, and caught it in his two hands.
Oh no!
And my hand was sore for a month and a half, and the guy behind me had a Carlos Delgado foul ball souvenir.
How old were you at this point?
Well, it would have been I was probably 26, would be
okay.
My guess. 26,
right.
27.
So that guy was
like,
he didn't care at all.
No.
Yeah.
Did not care at all.
No
give it to the kid. None of that.
No.
There's
none
no
of that.
Kid.
I was way too old for him to think, oh, that cute little boy deserves a souvenir. And then my final card, another great name from this era, AJ Burnett.
Oh, AJ Burnett.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Carlos Delgado? That's a guy who has some Hall of Fame creds for numbers. You know, you look at his career.
Yeah.
He,
all right.
To me, falls into the like most feared hitter, that dumb argument.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He
Definitely.
Was
yeah.
one of the scariest hitters in the league for a very long
yeah.
time.
And it's
very
amazing how under-discussed he is. I mean, no one talks about how
it's
great
true.
He was.
Yeah.
It's true. And he was truly, truly great. All right,
I'm
going to
look up some Carlos Delgado stats while you open this next pack of cards.
Yes, yeah, so let's get to the, because I've got Pete Orr, and we're not going to discuss him. here we go. The Scott Podsednik launches one for the ages home run.
From the 05 World
cool.
Series.
That's cool.
He became a fan favorite for his speed and defense, but then he hits the big home run. Very, very good.
That is every bit as surprising a World Series home run as Ozzie Smith's. Wouldn't you say, like, of all of the guys on that
White
Sox
team? Ozzie's wasn't in the World Series. Ozzie's was in
NLCS. That was NLCS, right.
Yeah, I think Tom Lawless probably had. Well, you know what? I wrote a book. I didn't mention this to you before. But
what?
I know. I wrote a book called Why We Love Baseball. And maybe I rank the five most unlikely home runs in baseball. I'm just saying. There's
Which
a chance.
Is Scott Podsednik maybe making an appearance?
You know what? I'm not talking. I'm not talking.
Your last book was 1,600 pages, correct?
That's right.
Baseball 100.
That's right.
How is this one longer or shorter?
This one is considerably shorter. This one is definitely more in the. Well, it's only 50 moments. Well, it's actually more, but it's 50 moments as rather than 100 players. Plus, I was like, you know, one of my all-time dreams is to go on a plane and then be sitting next to somebody who pulls a book out of the bag and it'd be my book. Like, that's
sure.
Never happened to me. I've never had that happen. There was no chance that was going to happen with the Baseball 100 because you couldn't even carry it on. It was too big to be a carry-on. So I'm hoping to make it a smaller size, kind you could take to the beach maybe, and very exciting.
Are you going to exclusively fly to like baseball cities to try to track someone down?
I'm literally going to get on planes, and I'm never going to get off. I'm like, I'm just going to keep going from city to city until I finally see one person.
If you did that during spring training next year after the book has come out,
yes,
you would have a good shot. You got to just go back and forth, Arizona, Florida, back and forth. You'll get there.
Yeah. Eventually, just fly back and forth from Phoenix to Orlando or whatever, like over and over again. Someone will do it.
But the other thing is, so many people read on e-readers, right? Like, I have your book, the longer book, in my Kindle. Luckily, you can't tell how long it is while holding it there. But so are you going out to people who have Kindles and saying, hey,
give me your Kindle.
Listen, I would never do that. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't look over my shoulder if somebody's sitting next to me and they're reading on their Kindle. I'd be like, what are you reading? You know, and then I see like Tony Robbins or something. It's not good. All right. We got Sergio Mitro, which tells you that I'm not doing as well
Mitre,
with my cards.
Right? Mitre in my memory?
Mitre. Yeah.
It is Mitre. Yeah. Right. Correct. Yeah. Another Vinny Castilla, just what I needed. Oh, here's a great 2000s guy, Esteban Loaiza.
Loaiza.
Oh, yeah.
When you picture Esteban Loaiza in your head, what uniform is he wearing?
White Sox.
Yeah. That's
right?
What I think too.
I think so. Yeah. I think White Sox. That seems to be the one that.
What was that one that was A's?
He was on the A's.
He was on the A's. Yeah. And really, he wasn't on the White Sox that long. Oh, but he won 21 with the White Sox. That's why I think of him, I think, with the White Sox. And he won 21 games that year. He was good. Esteban Loaiza was good. Hey, look
he
at this.
Good.
This is going to go to Mike Schur, a Boston Red Sox Manny Ramirez card right there.
Hey, very nice.
Nice.
Look at that follow through.
Oh, I was about to say that swing. That's just that so swing, baseball. I love it.
Here's the craziest thing about that card. It's a checklist. It says checklist on there.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
But it's not a checklist. It's just a Manny Ramirez card.
What's on the back?
Among the top. Oh, I guess it is about the team because it is a team checklist. So, wow. Oh, that 2006 team. My gosh. They won the World Series the next year. And here are the team checklists from there. Alex Cora, Alex Gonzalez, Coco Crisp, Dave Risky, Doug Mirabelli, Josh Beckett, JT Snow, Rudy Cienes, Willie Mopena. I mean, this is
Willie Mo.
That's not the world's
I went
best.
To batting. I saw batting practice at Fenway one year, one game, and Willie Mopena hit seven of the farthest.
Oh my gosh!
Balls
yeah,
ever
they legendary. Yeah. That. All right, Joaquin Benoit. We got a little Joaquin Benoit.
Oh yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't know this because I don't know baseball cards, but I'm just going to say if this is a contest, maybe getting a Justin Verlander rookie card is the best.
Whoa!
That's a good one. Oh, my god!
That's
gosh.
Like 15 points. You just got 15 points of catching up.
15 points and catching up with my Justin Verlander rookie card.
Put that aside. That's a good thing to send to some random person, a Justin Verlander rookie.
Some random
person. I have
gonna
a suggestion
that.
For who to what send that to. I'll tell you after. My I'll mention him here actually because he'll be listening. My sixth grade English teacher, who is the reason that I realized I could become a sports writer, and who is a huge Detroit Tigers fan.
Nice.
I'll give you his address. I guarantee he donated. And Mr. Backrack, I know you're listening. He is a huge of the podcast, of all the things I've gotten to do. Over the course of my career, we keep in touch. He's a big baseball fan, big sports fan. I think the thing that was the most all caps kind of text was, oh my God, you're going to go on the podcast. That's amazing. So I think if we can give
him. Oh, he's getting the Verlander card. That's it.
Just
tell him to keep his eye on the mail. Oh, you'll send us his address.
Yeah.
Keep his eye on the mail because he's getting this Justin Verlander card. That's happening.
Good. Good.
All right, Mike.
And that's the year, by the way, that I was. Is it? I believe. Oh, no. That's not the year I was in his class, but he came with us when we went to Game 7 of the 2006 NLCS. So just to kind of put that all together.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, here we go. Oh, Justin Morneau.
Oh, there you go.
That's his
there you go.
Third year. MVP winner.
MVP winner, Justin Morneau.
Incorrectly
right.
Awarded MVP winner, Justin Morneau.
But who should have won it that year?
Oh, any of the about 11 other people. I meant to do this. Sorry, Carlos Delgado. This is crazy. Why isn't Carlos Delgado in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question.
473 career homers.
That's right.
More than many Hall of Famers.
Almost all Hall of Famers, yeah.
483 doubles. He led the league in RBI 1 year. He had 1,500 RBI career. He had 1,100 walks and only 1,700 strikeouts, which is pretty amazing for a guy who hit with his power.
Yes.
His career OPS is 929. His career OPS plus is 138.
That's right.
138,
again, I'm just going to tell you, yet again, I don't want to be sound like I'm picking on Jeff Kent. How the heck does Jeff Kent keep getting up in these conversations and we're leaving guys like Carlos Delgado just in the dust? We're not even talking about him.
He hit 38 or more homers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, including and his second to last year when he was 36, like... This is a Hall of Fame baseball player.
You want to do something? You want to compare him to Fred McGriff, who just went into the Hall of Fame.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah, same position,
same kind of player. Now look, McGriff played in a different time, somewhat, I'm not saying Carlos Delgado is not a better player than Fred McGriff. It's pretty close.
Man, oh man, I didn't realize he had that many homers.
Oh yeah,
73. That's a lot of he was out of baseball at 37. Like if he hadn't been hurt and played two more years, he'd have 500. He'd be in. Man.
All right. What do you got?
I don't want to say I'm winning this contest.
Oh, no.
I really don't. I hate to say that I'm winning.
I know you do.
But I just got Mike Cameron.
Oh
my gosh.
Just
look at that card. That's a
look
great
at that.
Card. This
in
is
the
a
Mad
great
hat.
Card.
In the Mad helmet with the Padre logo.
Yeah. But look at that. That's a great, this is a great card because he's
really
centered in the frame with a huge, wonderful smile, surrounded by his teammates, having clearly just homered.
Yes.
He's high-fiving everybody. Who is that? Sarah, can you identify the player? Is that, who's in the back with the aviator shades on?
You know what looks like.
Edgardo Alfonso?
No, it looks like Ramon Castro, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
Wow, good. If you're right, that's one of the greatest calls of all time.
Well, I gotta check
it's
if
like
he
my
was
seventh
on
met, man.
You're just kidding. Right.
Yeah, and Ramon Castro was on that team. It is definitely him.
You just correctly identified Ramon Castro from
sure.
an image on a baseball card from 18 years ago.
This is why he's the only one on the Sarah Lang scale. That's
amazing. You should be awarded a Nobel Prize for that. That's insane. Edwin Encarnacion on the Reds.
Nice.
Wow. I like that. Yeah.
Brian Robert. Bullington rookie card. I don't remember Brian.
Oh, Bullington. I do. I remember Brian Bullion. Yeah. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah. I don't have a lot to say.
Oh,
about
another. Not a Met in this photo, but Preston Wilson. Wasn't he on the Mets for a while, or am I making that up?
He was on
Maybe
the
he
Mets
wasn't.
At,
was, he was, right?
At
yeah.
one
well, he's,
point.
He's,
yeah.
he's Mookie's son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he's got a tight connection to the Mets no matter what.
I want to say he was like a 2000s Met, like early in his career, let's say. Yeah, the Mets drafted him. So
yeah.
he was
yeah.
on the Mets. Like, oh my gosh. I think of him as a Met. Do you know how many games he played with the New York Mets?
How many?
Eight.
Eight games?
He played eight games as a New York Met before wow. being, I assume, traded, as I scroll here, to the Marlins.
Wow.
Fantastic.
He was traded May 20. Oh my gosh. He was the setup trade to. No, he was in the Piazza trade. He was traded
with the Marlins
May 22nd, 1998, with Jeff Getz and Ed Yurnal to the Florida Marlins for Mike Piazza.
Wow.
I saw the date, May 22nd. I know Piazza debuted with the Mets on May 23rd. So there you go.
Wow.
So let's just quick review. You correctly identified Ramon Castro in the background of a baseball card. Then you remembered that Preston Wilson was a Met and he played a total of 8 games for the Mets. That's the level of fandom we're dealing with here.
That's what we're dealing with here.
Oh, Danny Heron. He was a good pitcher for a while.
Heron was a very good pitcher. Started an All-Star game.
Great. Did he really tweeter. Started?
Yeah, he started an All-Star game. In fact, it was the year. Wow. It must have been, I can't even tell you, it was 2009, because the question was whether or not he or Zach Greinke should start the game. And Greinke was like, yeah, let Heron start it. He didn't want to start the
I
game.
Don't care. Yeah.
He totally did not want to start the game. But yes, yeah, so he is terrific pitcher. Terrific pitcher.
All right, so I've got 2 more packs. We have to wrap this up because Joe has to get somewhere.
Yes.
So I say we each open 2 packs and talk about the 5 most interesting people that we find inside.
Okay.
And then we'll call it a day.
All right, I'm opening a pack right now, and I'll tell you the most interesting people. Oh, here we go. So I had already gotten a Steve Traxel card, which obviously excited everybody here. Yeah. But I had not gotten a numbered Steve Traxel card. So this Ooh. Is numbered. This is number 151 of 299 Steve Traxel cards wow. in the entire world. So that is going your way, Sarah. You're going to have delightful...
Well, someone should get both the Steve Traxel and the numbered Steve. There should be a Steve Traxel prize package.
All right. Let's see. Is there anybody else here worth talking about? No, not going to say. Maybe not anybody worth talking about here. Here we go. I got a Ryan Howard Grand Slam card. Just a little.
Oh my gosh!
From when
I have a Ryan Howard story. So Ryan Howard, I want to get the year right. So my dad and I went to a game in September in 2000, and it must have been 2004 when he was like a September call up, and he hit this massive, massive home run, like okay. one of the most towering home runs I've seen to center field at Shea Stadium ever. And my dad and I are just like, who is this guy? This guy is going to be a problem. And then the next year, of course, he's the rookie of the year and he's tormenting the Mets as a member of the Phillies. So, we always think of that without Ryan Howard.
He was what a tremendous
80 mm-hmm. power on that guy, right?
Oh, 80 mm-hmm. pounds. Yeah.
That's what 80 power looks like. Is
yeah. What did he hit? Did he hit 59 in a year? 57? What did he
58,
hit?
Like, 58. 58.
Stanton hit 59. 06. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I also have a speed to burn card of Ichiro. Look at that. That's a sweet.
Oh, I like that.
That's a sweet cool. card. Ichiro, did Ichiro have speed to burn, would you say?
Yes.
I love that expression. I love the expression of speed to burn. Speed to burn suggests
speed to burn.
Speed to burn suggests what? That like there's too much speed, right? They don't even need all of it.
He can burn off some of his speed and he yeah. still has plenty of speed. Yes. All right. I got some good cards here. I got Moose.
Mike Mussina, Hall of Famer, Mike Mussina.
I got Jason Schmidt, who I once saw one hit the Red Sox at AT&T, whatever, Pac Bell Park. And
again, very, very good player. Very good yep. player.
I got the mayor, Sean Casey, looking very mayoral in this.
He is indeed looking mayoral there, for sure.
I got a Bobby Abreu star attraction card.
Oh. Ooh. Look, Bobby very Abreu nice. Was a great player. Bobby Abreu was not a star attraction.
Check this out. This is amazing. This is more for me than for Sarah. But in the same pack, I got Orlando Cabrera and Nomar. This right here represents one of the most important moments in my life, which was July 31st, 2004, when this beloved superstar was traded for this essentially nobody, and the Red Sox infield defense got so much better that they won the World Series.
Amazing.
Thank you to both of you. Thank
and
you.
Neither one of them in a Red Sox uniform in the in the cards.
No. And then right. I also got Julio Lugo.
Oh, very nice. Wow. Very nice.
Classic. Like when I think of a Rays, a Devil Rays uniform, Julio Lugo is in it. Like that is who I think of.
Okay.
Good call. Good call.
In this pack, I did get somebody I'm very excited about because I think this will mean something to Sarah and it means something to me. A Brian Bannister on the Mets rookie card.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. And look at that. Is he pitching in San Francisco there?
I think he is. I think you're right.
And he goes on to work for them, right? Didn't
he?
Doesn't he maybe currently?
One of my favorite people.
So much fun. That was, we're going to have a great pitcher. This is amazing. I remember going to a Brooklyn Cyclones game, and they have a couple of numbers retired, and I believe one of them was his.
Wow.
A couple of years later.
Nice.
So very cool. And, I mean, he does such a good job kind of talking about the game on social media now. I love it so much.
He's one of my
favorites. Very good ambassador. Good ambassador for baseball, Brian.
Yes, and one of my favorite people. I loved him so much that when I first started doing my blog, I would do something called the Banny Log, where I would literally write about every one of his starts separately, which really made him laugh a lot. I also got a Ken Griffey Jr. run producer's card.
Ooh,
isn't that nice?
How many runs do we think he produced that year? Let's see.
That year they said, because he had 92 RBIs and 85 runs scored. But they say he displayed familiar form that year. He had 301 in 2006. I didn't realize that.
Good to the end, man.
He didn't have that many good years with the Reds. All right, one more pass.
I think that was kind of the last Griffey year.
Yeah,
he was an all-star in 07, but 05, the numbers you read, that was kind of the last big.
The last time that he was really Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, although he did hit 30 homers in 07, but yeah.
All right, one more pack, and then we're gonna call it. This is our one last meeting.
All right, while you're opening that, here's our one last meaningless thing. It's more 2006. I got a numbered Amazing Greats Rafael Furcal card.
Very nice.
137 out of 699. So now we can have a Rafael Furcal price package.
Nice.
I got JT Snow. Now, what do you think of JT Snow? What do you think about?
Not that picture. Not standing not that picture, over just a base, kind of bent up like
calling timeout after he slid into second, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what I think of. No, I think of JT Snow saving Dusty Baker's kid.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I think of him grabbing a small child by the shirt and yanking him out of the way of a person who would have broken him in half.
Yes, that's right.
Hit him at full
that
speed.
A small child now in the Nationals organization.
That's right. Derek Baker.
The California Golden Bears. Yeah.
That's right. And finally, I got Hall of Famer Frank Thomas. Look at him.
Holding up
the World Series trophy from the year before. What a great thing at the very end of that career. He was on that team. He stayed with that team. He's on the A's in this card.
Yeah.
But he stayed with that White Sox team for what? 16 years or something.
He was there forever.
At the very end, he wins the ring. That's a truly great baseball story.
That's what's supposed to happen. I mean, if you don't win 5 World Series and be a dynasty and everything, that's how it's supposed to go.
That's sort of how it went for Carlos Beltran, but not exactly.
But not exactly
as feel good a story. All right. All right, Franklin Herman, Jeff Cirillo. Oh my gosh, Octavio Dotel on the Yankees. Somebody,
wow,
that's no good. Chan Ho Park was a fine player. Oh, we got a little Miguel Tejada. Then Fernando Nieve. I don't have a strong memory of Fernando Nieve. And then we got a Rick White. All right, what team did Rick White play for?
I want to say the Phillies for some reason, but I don't know.
Sarah, you have a guess?
I don't have a guess.
The Cincinnati Reds for Rick White.
Oh, I was close.
And then Ben Johnson. I mean, 2006 wait not that minute. Long ago. Wait I'm getting players I've never we heard have of.
To. We sprinter? Have to go back to Rick White. Rick White played for the Devil Rays, the Pirates, the Mets, the Astros, the Rockies, the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Reds.
Oh, he did play for the Phillies. Very good.
Cleveland, Seattle, and the White Sox.
Whoa!
Oh, God. I mean, that's not, you know, upper end, Edwin Jackson, but that's a lot of teams.
That's a lot of teams. How many at-bats did he get in his career?
He was a pitcher.
How many games did he pitch in his career?
He pitched in 613 games.
Oh, that's way more. That's way more games.
12 years. Into. Yeah.
But that many teams, that's what, 60 games a team, I guess? Probably something like that.
Yeah. So he was on Pittsburgh and the Devil Rays for 3 years each. So he pitched in like 120 plus for each of them. And then the other teams, it's like an average of 30-ish. Mariners, it was 6 games. But other than that, they're all like 20 plus.
Wow. All right. I also got a very, very cool card that is directly related to this new book. Mike, did I mention that I wrote a book? I don't know if I told
what?
You. What? Yeah, I don't know if I told you this. Directly related to this, this is a very cool card. Albert Pujols hitting the home run against the Houston Astros.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm that's not saying great. That moment is in the book, but pretty good chance that moment is in the book. So, so very, very cool. Mike, you have any others to open for us?
I only have one other card that's worth mentioning, which is a Xavier Nady card. He's on the Padres, but listed as a Met.
Yeah, I was going to say he became a Met. Look at that photo.
What is that photo? What's happening behind him?
I believe he is rushing in and catching a low liner. And the was he a center fielder or a right fielder or a left fielder? I don't remember.
More of a left fielder.
It's two outfielders are going for the ball, and he cut in front of the other one, and the other guy's backing off in the classic one hand up like whoa pose as Xavier Nady catches the low liner with intense concentration.
All right. But
the point is, yet another Met. I pulled yet another Met.
You pulled out yet another Met. All right. I want to mention one other card that I got because I just picked it up. The Babe Ruth card, which says on the bottom, Ruth, a regular long ball threat. Oh. You'd have to say that's true. That's not false advertising.
He qualifies as a regular long ball threat.
He was a long ball threat
for a while. Yeah.
I thought he hit a few home runs in his career, so that's not bad. All right. Well, there we go.
We've done great work here today. Let's review what we've learned. Number one, Carlos Delgado should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Yes.
Number two, Sarah Langs is soon to be the proud owner of, among other things, a Kazuo Matsui 2006 Upper Deck card, a Carlos Delgado Star Attractions card.
That's right.
A Mike Caron card. With who was it? Ramon Castro in the background.
Yeah,
that's right.
This is your look. I know you've had already a very long and storied career as a baseball analyst and researcher and journalist. This is your greatest accomplishment.
It's your high moment. This is the absolute
high water mark of your life. That you looked at this Mike Caron card and I said, "Who's that in the background?" And you said Ramon Castro, and then that's right.
That's right.
That you'll never top that. You could do this for another 1,000 years. Carlos Beltran card blowing a bubble. Cliff Floyd sliding into second, and a Jose Reyes Star Attractions card. These are all on their way to you.
Also a Brian Bannister rookie card and a numbered Steve Traxel card. I mean, I don't know what else you can get at. Somebody, nice. I guess somebody very close to Sarah, who has been a big part of Sarah's life, will get a Justin Verlander rookie card. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. And somebody out there is going to get a Jeff Francis card with the game used patch that he wore for Canada during the World Baseball Classic. So we've learned a lot today, frankly.
We really have. This has been a great day.
So much to be done. So Sarah, cannot thank you enough. Thank you for everything, but especially thank you for being here with us today. And we'll get you all that stuff. It's going to be great. Get us the information of your old teacher. We're going to make his day.
And thanks once again to everybody who donated and helped our fundraiser be so successful. $100,000 going to the Eleanor and Lou Gehrig ALCS Center.
It's very
studying
exciting.
The feasibility of nine-game ALCSs,
among other things, and still
amongst other things.
And their slogan, as always, putting the NLCS Center to shame, as always.
Oh,
just it's
again, get your act together, NLCS Center. Get your act together.
Do something for once. And next week we will be on here. We will start picking some winners. And in the meantime, if you happen to get an email from us saying you won a random prize, just all you have to do is send us your it's sort of like the old days of the baseball cards where you sent in like the little card to get to get a thing. So all you have to do is send us your email. I mean, your physical address, and you will get a random prize selected just for you. So there we go. Mike, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Podcast. Thank you for having me, Joe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.